Okay, first, and most of you know this, but in case you don't, the reason what gets you in the kingdom, Jesus paid to do away with your sins. He paid to get your evil things that keep you out of the kingdom. He paid for them himself and basically took the punishment for those things. He also took the guilt and he also took the shame. He did all of that because those things had to be out of the way. They had to be out of the way. They had to be out of the way so that you could get in the kingdom. Sin had to be dealt with because you could not come into the presence of God with sin not dealt with. Do you understand that? Nobody can come into the presence of God without sin dealt with. They can come into a counterfeit presence that calls itself God. But you cannot come into the presence of God unless your sin is dealt with. Now, dealt with doesn't mean you have to do something. Dealt with doesn't mean, in other words, it's not about your behavior and trying to make something happen to be holy enough to go in the presence of God. Jesus says, nobody will ever be holy enough to come into my presence based on themselves. Okay? Nobody. And nobody will ever be so bad that what Jesus paid for doesn't count for them. So, in darkness, in the world's way of thinking, which most of the church is still in, most of us are still in it, everything is performance-based. Everything is behavior-based. All the rules, we read the Bible as a rule book. And it all keeps us under the curse. It all keeps Satan in charge with condemnation. It keeps us contending and seeing who's superior and who's the best and who's bad and blah, blah, blah. Yuck! Keeps a mess. All right? So, we've got to get into the kingdom, okay? The kingdom of God. Jesus came to preach the kingdom, okay? He came to preach the kingdom. Now, the kingdom isn't fake. The kingdom is where there's love, joy, peace. Everything you want is in the kingdom. Every restored relationship is in the kingdom. Every healing is in the kingdom. And first of all, you have to recognize the king and want him to be king. And want him to be Lord, and he's good God. And all he has in the kingdom is blessings, honestly. All he has in the kingdom is everything good. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, okay? So everything good, even getting high in God, is in the kingdom. Everything in darkness that seems fun is a counterfeit that Satan has set up to use lust, which is your flesh in charge, to keep you bound to darkness. And the church in self-righteousness has made everybody think that being in the kingdom is about being good and following the rules. And Jesus is very clear in Matthew and all the Gospels, you cannot enter into the kingdom based on your righteousness because you don't have any. So what you do is you accept Christ in your heart because you recognize that there really is sin. And Christ comes into your heart by his Spirit, and now it lives inside of you. And his job, so to speak, is to keep you in the kingdom, get you in the kingdom, sanctify you, make you holy. Now, do you have to be holy to be in the kingdom? Do you have to be holy without evil to be in the kingdom? The answer is no. This isn't a tough question. Because if it were true, we couldn't get in the kingdom till we died. Okay? Here's how it works. This is what we're here for. Holy Spirit comes in. He shows us that we've been born again because of what Christ has done, and we've accepted Jesus as Lord and as King. And he begins to do a work to make us holy. The Holy Spirit works to make us holy. He gets us into a position to hear him when we read the word. He brings healing and deliverance. He undoes the works of the enemy that Christ paid for. He does all of these things. He does all of these things so that we can be made holy. Be holy for I am holy, the word of God says. So what happens is Holy Spirit comes in and begins to, hopefully, if you yield, you begin to read the word. When you read the word, you say, oh, I'm supposed to put off these things. And so we choose to put them off. But here's the problem. If we put off these things based on works and performance and become self-righteous, it doesn't mean anything. That's not how we put them off. We put something off in the kingdom by getting the heart of God. Oh, God doesn't want me to fornicate, not because he's just a fuddy-duddy and he doesn't understand what it's like to live in America in this century. No, God knows what he created everything for. He knows how he set up marriage, what it's supposed to look like. He knows what parenting is supposed to look like. He knows what friendship is supposed to look like. He knows what will make us happy. He knows that if we don't have lust and we're not led by the flesh and acting like animals, honestly, that we remain his image, his likeness. He knows how he made us. He knows how he made us, and he knows what's going to protect us. He knows you never have to worry. We never have to worry about diseases, especially AIDS and things like that. There would be no such thing if everyone was in the kingdom and doing things God's way. So when God put his word together and the laws, they're to protect us. You know, if they're really to protect us, it's like a father looking out for us in this fallen world. And so in that place, he loves us. He's taking care of us. And we just have to trust him. But what we have to agree with him when we begin to see, you're right. You know, there's all these different things. And the problem is we're rebellious. The problem is we buy the world's way of thinking. And that's why we're all in such messes. Because we keep doing it the world's way and saying we're a Christian. And that's why we look like hypocrites to our children and to other people, because we really act like the world, and we think we're in our self-righteous thinking, we think we're okay. And the truth is, I can put off anything. First of all, I put it off because I trust that God is right. How hard should that be? How hard should it be that God would be right and you would be wrong if you don't agree with him? It should not take a very smart person to get the revelation that God, who created everything, is smarter than you. I mean, he really is. Okay, I mean, like, hands down, there's not even competition. He's smarter than me. So if God created everything and he is a good God, because he is, he's really a good God. That's the problem with bought lies of the enemy. He's a good God. He created everything. He knows how it's supposed to work. And he doesn't change his mind because the devil comes along and tries to tempt us to do what the devil wants. Okay, now here's the problem. If I focus on the behavior, what you focus on, you end up usually doing or judging. The thing you fear most will come on you. So if you constantly try to make sure that, let's say, your child doesn't get hooked on pornography, this in America today, you know, or doesn't have sex before they're married, if you're constantly focused, or that you don't smoke, or that you don't drink, or whatever, you don't cuss again, you never yell at your kid, you don't scream and yell again, whatever, if you focus on the behavior and you try to change the behavior, you stay under the curse. There's no grace there. There's no grace there. On your own, in your own righteousness, you're trying to make it look like the Bible. And it doesn't work. And to the degree that the enemy has hurt you, to the degree that there's iniquity is your forefathers or your generational curses. It's what they did that makes the devil think he's going to make you do it. And it's a very strong pull. And whatever you judge, the devil gets to make that happen in your life. That's why you repeat the sins of your parents, even though you grew up your whole life saying you weren't going to do that. That's why Paul says in the word in Corinthians, why do I do the things I don't want to do? Woe is me. It's a woe is me in darkness, not the kingdom. Now, here's the thing. Some of us, we talked to Linda about this today. Some of us have taken on such strong things in judging our parents and judging things and self-righteousness that we think we can do all this because you went through your whole life thinking, I'm going to do this. I can do this. Nobody's going to beat me. I can do this. And some people go through their whole life, I can't do anything, poor me, no matter what, hopeless me. I mean, these are the two kind of extremes. And so the enemy just keeps you there. Well, in the kingdom, there's no such thing as all of that. But the enemy has planted things in you, and that's what we're here to undo, and has even damaged parts of your thinking where you can't get free if you want to. How do you know if something is spiritual? You can't stop it when you want to. You can't stop the thoughts. You can't stop the rage. You can't stop the habit or the addiction. You can't stop it. You can't make yourself get healed. You can't do it. Why? Because if that happens, it's spiritual. You have a spiritual problem that can only be handled in the kingdom and can only be handled by the Holy Spirit. What can start out as a soulish problem or a flesh problem, eventually, if you continue to practice it, becomes a spiritual problem. You're already tempted, but if you continue, then eventually that enemy's going to get really strong there, and now you can't get away. So the best they can offer with all these talk shows and psychiatrists and psychologists, and usually it's medication, and I'm not against any of these things. I'm just telling you, do whatever you need to do to continue to live long enough and to hold on to your sanity enough to get free enough to get in the kingdom. Because that's what they're doing. They're just trying to really help you when they don't know how to deal with spiritual stuff. Now, the real deal is, if we knew how to get in the kingdom, if we could really yield ourselves and yield to God and quit trying to be in control and quit trying to do it ourselves and quit being self-righteous, if we could really die to self, which we can. But some people take a lot more hits before they die. Then you'll find out in the kingdom that all he wants you to do is trust him, believe in him in your heart, so it's spiritual, and then obey him. And the Word of God tells you how to do this. And the fivefold ministry is supposed to come alongside you to help you with this. And truthfully, it's very, very hard to die to self. So the enemy just keeps whopping us around, okay? But I want you to know this. You've got to know there actually is a place of yieldedness. And I don't say surrender anymore, because surrender sounds like you lost. When you get born again of the Spirit of the living God, and you know God for real, and he talks with you, and he shows you what to do, and he gives you wisdom, and he takes care of your needs, and it's amazing what he does. It's a great life, no matter how bad the situations. It's wonderful peace no matter what's going on. It's not something to surrender to. You're just blinded if you don't want to yield to it. But when you yield means I agree and I'm going for the ride. Okay, to yield is I agree with God and I'm going for the ride. And then he takes you on this awesome ride of knowing who he is and how awesome he is and how wonderful he is and all the things the devil has lied to you about in darkness. Jesus Christ has made a way for you to get free from. And so we're trying to get the blinders off. We're just believing God to show us what to do. Okay? Does everybody understand this now? Probably not. That's okay. Because the kingdom things you can't understand except by the Spirit of God. And it's very simple. Yield, which means quit being in charge, quit being in control, and trust God and grow in relationship and obey him. When I obey God, then I can't, or I shouldn't, take any kind of credit for the awesome things he does. Okay? Now, wouldn't it be really nice if there really was a place where God really tells you what to do and shows you what to do, and it really works out just like the Bible says? How many thinks that would be great? It's true. But a lot of people don't even know what the Bible says. So that's why the Bible says, that's why the Word of God says, renew your mind. Know what the Bible says. So you can't fight a fight until you know what the Bible says. Because how can you obey? How do you know if it's God or the devil talking to you? People say some really good, I was in a store that I'm really not that comfortable being in because I'm totally not a crafty kind of person. I mean, I used to be the wrong kind of crafty and manipulating before God set me free, but I've never been the crafty that sews, and, you know, I had a sewing machine. I've had all that stuff, and it just, Terry has the only thing I ever actually cross-stitched. It's really, she probably got rid of, don't ever get, if you get rid of that, give it to me. But, yeah, it's a pillow of a dog. It took me forever to cross it. And that was after my big cross-stitching. I bought everything. I almost bought every single thing. Like, when I used to have the all-or-nothing thing. I just got free from it. So I bought all the stuff for, I was going to cross-stitch everybody and their brother and their sister, aunt, neighbors. Everybody's going to get cross-stitched gifts. Well, Terry got the one cross-stitch thing I ever made, and then everybody else got a little tiny ornament thing. And then I threw it all away. All or nothing. But so I was in this craft store because I'm redoing a room and I'm going to get Nicole to do the work and I'll go buy the stuff. Because to her, it's not work. She likes that crafty stuff. Her and Donna, and they watch those shows and everything. So anyway, and these two, this is sad to me though. I'm standing there and there's two ladies. One was cutting the stuff and the other had so much hurt in her. And she's a nice, nice lady. And she was, making tote bags. And so people say, oh, why do you have those bright colors? Because she had some of the wildest fabrics, tons of it. And she would say how everyone was for a nurse or somebody who was helping her daughter who was sick. And she was explaining how sick her daughter was and how hard it was on her and what they've gone through and all this. And then the other lady who was cutting said, I know what you're talking about. And then one lady said, you know, in my church, they're so helpful and I give them this and that. And she goes, but you know, one day I'm going to bury my own daughter. She's 30 now, and she's lived longer than they thought, but one day I'm going to bury my own daughter. I'm sitting there going, oh, Lord. And I didn't say a word, though, which is amazing, because I just got done talking to the lady who did my fingernails for an hour about the Lord. So it was really cool, because the Holy Spirit was leading me to talk then. For the Lord not to have me talk at this is a miracle. There would have been a day I'd have went right in there, bullhorn and all. Don't you know Jesus is a healing God? Every day about Jesus being a healing God. Oh, glory, glory, Jesus, hallelujah. You know, here, come to our church. You want my book? Here. And this time I'm sitting there and I'm like, Lord, do you want me to say anything? And he said, he really was like, no, because they're not ready to hear. So I just sat there with such self-control. It was a miracle. It was a breakthrough for me because I know I would have been standing up on that thing with a ruler telling them. So then, or at least giving them my sob story, which would be better than their sob story. So then the next lady, and I'm not making fun, it's sad what people are going through, and they're Christians, talking about, yeah, her daughter, one has cancer, and it's so hard to see her daughter go through the treatments, which I know it has to be. And her other daughter has MS, and she's watching her get worse and worse. And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, first of all, and they're talking about how they're Christians, I'm thinking, this does not glorify God.